of May 2016.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 23rd of February, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly missing Jules Serkin. She's gone off to make a cup of tea and she hasn't come back. Isn't that typical? Anyway, we don't need her because I'm going to tell you some of the stuff that I've got on emails, and I've also got a couple of new tweets come in I need to read. Giant Talks, local digital marketing. Get your calendars ready because we're back in 2016 for another series of exciting Giant Talks. To kick off the year, we're holding an information talk on local digital marketing, how global is local, on Thursday the 25th of February, that's this Thursday, at the Kent Invicta Chamber offices in Ashford, that's at Sevington, and that's from 8:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. The day begins at 8:30 with some coffee and informal networking and finishes at 12:30 lunchtime after some more networking. The talk will be chaired by compere Brian Hall from the Kent Invicta Chamber. There will be some food provided for the final networking and refreshments will be available throughout. Our exclusive speaker lineup includes Damon McCollin Moore from i4, Steve Hamilton from KM Digital Solutions, the lovely Linda Cloak from We Do Social Media, and our very own Luke Quilter from Sleeping Giant Media. That's this Thursday, 8:30, at the Kent Invicta Chamber offices at Sevington in Ashford. Giant Talks, local digital marketing. Do get along to that.
Would you like faster, lower cost ways to improve your business? Then come along, meet over 600 Kent businesses at the West Kent B2B on the 10th of March at the Hop Farm, Paddock Wood. Lots of hopping mentioned today. Mm-hmm. Highlight of the day, there'll be two keynote speakers, Paul Johnson, who's the group chair at Vistage. He's a strategist and an outstanding record of sales, successfully turned around underperforming businesses. And he'll be speaking about the seven key skills of successful business leaders. And then Paul Lees, Chief Executive of PowerWow Now, the UK's leading conference call provider, sharing his success secrets with you. Leading business speakers offering you solutions to your critical business issues. There'll be 10 workshops, and so you can also find out the latest info on marketing, sales, social, and starting up, tendering, finance, and also law. There'll be 4 exciting Get Social sessions with the best social media digital marketing advice and strategies, plus the winning bid. Find out how to ensure that your tender wins. Over 80 exhibitors. So it's the West Kent B2B. I'm going to read out a phone number so you can get your pen ready and an email. So again, it's on the 10th of March at the West Kent B2B, the Hop Farm, Paddock Wood. And the number is 01732 758 530, and you can also email bookings@kentinvictachamber.co.uk.
Fantastic, thank you. We've got a flurry of tweets coming in again. We've had the marketing assistant, the lovely Tabitha TMA, who says, after a busy morning in Tenterton Town, I was able to listen to the Business Bunker Show and the lovely Cascade Julie.
So she was listening while she was probably on TuneIn app?
Possibly, yeah, I would tune think. The Kent County Show has tweeted, and they say Vanilla Web. It's the deadline for trade at the Kent Show 2016 next Tuesday. It's an exciting opportunity to reach 77,000 visitors. Blimey.
That's a lot.
Almost as many as we've got listeners.
Yeah, 77,000. Wow.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep, so that's the Kent County Show, that long-established tradition in the county. The deadline for trade exhibitors is next Tuesday. So if you haven't booked your place, you need to do it now. And you can follow the folks on their Twitter handle, which is Kent County Show, unsurprisingly. Kent County Show. So do give them a visit and do follow them on the Twitter.
We've had a lovely letter from young Andrew Weaver.
Who
brought you the duck?
The man with the duck.
Yeah. He says, hello, Paul, with no mention of me at all. Trust all is well. It's been a fantastic start to 2016. Just a quick note to say that things are heating up here at Lawyer Fair. And you can find them on lawyerfair.co.uk. We've been operating in startup mode for 18 months, but this year we've seen an amazing spike of activity as their free service gains greater market credibility and traction. Our mission, says Andrew, is to connect SMEs with the best fit and most cost-effective legal solution providers, and it's proving very popular. To assist this growth phase, we've appointed Julian Costley as chairman, and Julian is an ex-Thomson Reuters senior executive and was founder and CEO of E-Trades UK. That's E with a hyphen trades if you're looking them up, E-Trades UK, which moves stockbroking online in a similar way to our ambitions with legal procurement. This follows hot on the heels of Simon Mead, ex-CEO at Eastern Enterprise Hub, and also former E-Trades UK, joining in December 2015 as commercial director. Lawyerfair is going places, and part of our success has been the support and referrals from our existing network. So well done, everyone at Lawyerfair, we say.
Brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, well
More
done, Andrew.
More power to you. Keep on keeping on.
He did actually email me personally.
Did he?
Yeah, it wasn't just dear Paul.
You fibber.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from New Appointments Group that says, afternoon, P&J. That's me and her.
Yes, afternoon. They've got lots of jobs, I hear.
Yeah, shouting out that we've got 116 live jobs on the wonderful Jobs in Kent website.
Well done.
Give us a click for your next job. Do indeed. That's the lovely folks at New Appointments Group.
I wonder what sort of things they've got on there.
All kinds of things. Office jobs, technology jobs, all kinds of things. Mm. Go and have a look. And do give them a follow on the Twitter, Nag Recruitment on the Twitter. Do you know what?
Is that clock right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, time flies.
I know, time is really, it's barreling through.
I do and know what, you're going to talk to our next guest.
I am indeed.
See, I can read you like a book.
Yeah, absolutely, it's really amazing, isn't it? It's startling, it's almost spooky.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, for the first time again, the lovely Kathy Carter of Serenia Books. Kathy, hello.
Hello, hi. Thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Do welcome. You're welcome onto the show. Can I start off by just asking you to tell us a little bit about what you don't do? And what I mean is you're going to talk to us about something you are just doing, but you also do something else. So let's do that first. Tell us a little bit about your background first and what you actually do.
Okay, so my day job is public relations and writing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my company, Serenia Limited, offers public relations and marketing support. We do social media and a lot of blogging, actually, at the moment.
Right.
E-books and anything that's the written word, really, for companies. Mainly in the countryside sector at the moment, so we've got a lot of retailers, wholesalers.
Okay.
Distributors, a couple of venues as well.
Right.
So that's what I do in the daytime, helping them with their blogging and getting them into the press and spreading the word about their services.
I love a bit of blogging, me.
Do you?
Yeah, I love a bit of blogging.
We've
got about 200 blogs on Kent Business Radio, so I like a bit of blogging.
Yeah,
nicely slipped in there, a little plug for Kent Business Radio.
We're working together here.
I did notice.
This is happening for us.
Everyone should be blogging.
Absolutely.
I know sometimes you sit at your desk and you've got just the mental block, but whatever it is, if you can just get something down for your company or service or yourself and sprinkle some keywords in about, you know, the people you want to get in contact with and your industry, it's so helpful, you know, in terms of your search engine optimization and spreading the word. And once you get in the swing of it, it's lovely and people will start looking out for it as well. And you can use it on your social media. And
exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So I guess it's kind of apposite that you're a professional writer anyway, what we're going to talk about next kind of led you from one to the other, I guess. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this new venture of yours and what you're up to?
Okay, so, I do think of myself as a writer. A lot of what we do with the public relations is article writing. I do copywriting for companies as well. Perhaps some of your listeners will know me for that rather than anything else, actually, because I sort of help people with their websites and so on. I wanted to write a children's storybook for a very long while, like a lot of us do. Everyone says they've got a story in them.
Have you got your own children?
I've got one little boy, yeah. He's 2 years, 9 months now. And
Was he the catalyst, the motivation for doing this?
Yes, he was, actually. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So we did baby signing with him, which is using sign language to help babies and infants communicate. And I decided, it was a couple of years ago now, to set up an independent book publishing company so I could create my own baby signing books, because there really is nothing like it available at the moment. So if you're interested in signing, you can get dictionaries, really, that are beautifully illustrated and show you the signs for things like, you know, milk, sleep, drink, eat, all the things you might want to discuss with your baby or your infant, but no real story. So I decided to write a story and include signing in it.
Fantastic. Now let's just cover this signing bit, because I can do a bit of that. Is this standard British Sign Language?
It is. What we say for the most part is that this series will be predominantly British Sign Language. Mm. There's a few instances, including in this book actually, where, because it's very, for a very young audience, some of the signs, if I think the American version is simpler, I'll substitute it. So it's...
do you mean that there's an American signing language
ASL?
Different?
It's different, yeah.
Yes, it can be. I mean, to be honest, most of them are very similar, but you'll find the odd one which is slightly different.
Mm. Hey, Jules, that's the only one you need to know.
Okay. Yes, I know that one.
You'll find that they're quite similar. And there's it's not a language, but it's a program called Makaton, which is used a lot with children with learning delays. And actually, that's quite similar as well. So essentially, once you've got the hang of one, you can communicate really with any of these programs and languages.
I mean, just we're not specifically talking about sign language here, but one of the interesting things about sign language is it's fairly intuitive anyway, isn't it? Because you're speaking using your hands by painting pictures with your hands, basically, really, is what you're doing, isn't it?
It's true. And I think even if parents and carers of little children aren't formally, you know, learning about sign language, they'll do it anyway. You know, we all have signs for crying or sleeping or, you know, maybe a special teddy or something. So we all naturally do that as parents and carers without having to learn how to do it properly. And actually, if you're doing sign language with a little one, as long as it's consistent, you can have your own signs, you know.
Yeah.
Make your own signs up for milk or bed or whatever, as long as everyone does it.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
So I'm confused because, as you know, I was late. So is this just for children that have hearing difficulties, or is it for all young babies as a way of mums talking before kids can actually get the words out?
Yes, the latter is correct. It's not specifically for children with hearing impairments at all. It would be extremely useful if you are a parent with a very young deaf child, but actually the baby signing movement is for hearing children. So it started in the late 80s in America, and it's taken a very long while to trickle down over here,
because I've never heard of it. And my I had kids in the 80s, so.
Yeah, it probably was the early 2000s it began to get a bit more popular here. And I mean, of course, Kent, there's quite a few signing groups in all of the big towns. There's a couple of franchises, Tiny Talk and Sing and Sign are the ones that spring to mind, where, you know, your individual class trainers will have the franchise and then bring along mums, dads, carers and show the baby signing every week. But even though they're really taking off, there's just not the literature, there's not the stories, there's not the things that, you know, you and me could go onto Amazon or go into your local bookshop and buy. So Alfie's Magic Hat is the name of the series, and Fun at the Zoo is the first book that we're launching this coming weekend. And it just came about because there was nothing else out there, really.
Well, we were talking about this, and I was being a little bit facetious, but not really. My kids are well grown up now. And when they were little, I read We're Going on a Bear Hunt and The Hungry Caterpillar. And I was staggered. My nieces and nephews recently produced my sister's grandchildren, and I got the same book, the same two books.
Classic.
There doesn't seem to be anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great books, those two books, but that's it.
They stand the test of time, don't they, for sure. I think anything that's just got a really strong, simple story and nice repetition, and they get handed down as well, don't they, through families.
I once worked with a young lady, I did her press, who was deaf and blind, and I found it incredibly difficult to pick up the deaf-blind signing language, and I really tried, but I was not good at it. So do you think this is something that could really help parents, you know, move on with that sort of thing?
I mean, for us, we did signing, we did some classes, and I also had some videos at home. It helped us immensely, because if you can communicate with a child who can't yet talk, I mean, all they really need...
So that tantrum stage.
Yes, exactly. They're very basic in their requirements at that age, you know, food, drink, sleep. You can greatly help reduce the risk factors for the tantrums and the communication failures if they know through sign language what they want and you can chat to them. Even silly things now. My little boy's coming up 3. If he's across a room, you know, at one of these big children's play events or at a play centre or a party, you can sign, does he need the potty? Do you want a drink? It's not really just for when they're tiny, because it's so useful. But yes, it's very, very helpful, I would say, as a parent, if you can have a bash at signing. And if you get the Alfie's Magic Hat book, that will help you pick up the basics as well.
Absolutely.
It's a lovely book. And
it's gorgeous. And the illustrations are brilliant.
I was going to say that.
Well, you? Yeah. I got in first.
It's a local lady, Maureen Carter. She's based in Weald in Sevenoaks. And she's a professional artist. She's retired from her day job, but she teaches adult education and also does projects like this. She's written or illustrated books previously. She's very talented.
Have you come across a lady called Emily Murray Girl, who runs an organisation called the Reading Fairy over in East Kent?
I haven't.
It's worth finding out about them. You can follow them on the Twitter at the Reading Fairy. Emily has been on the Bunker a couple of times. She's very passionate about children's books and children reading.
Oh,
and they do reading workshops and stuff like that. I think she'd be fascinated by what you're doing here.
That'd be great.
And is Maureen Carter any relation?
No, it's...
That's pure coincidence.
It is a pure coincidence, yes. It's very odd. Everyone assumes that. People say, because she's retired, oh, nice to meet you and your mother, which I don't know if she likes or not, but no, it is just a coincidence.
Okay, so we've got the motivation for Alfie's Magic Hat, and we've got the book. There's a couple of things I want to explore here, but I don't want to lose where we are with a number of different issues. Did deciding to write a book inspire you to learn signing, assuming you have learned signing? How did that work? What was the sequence of this?
I mean, my signing knowledge is fairly limited, in that it is what I needed for a young child, an infant. So if you're signing because you have maybe someone with learning delays or hearing disabilities, then you would probably go on as a parent or carer to learn a great deal more than I've learned. We probably use a couple of hundred signs at home. So yes, it was the experience of doing it with my son, also wanting to write a storybook and having this realization that let's put the two together, because there's a gap in the market.
Absolutely. Right, so I want to kind of move into a slightly different direction with what we're going here now, because you're a bit special here, really, aren't you? You are a bit of a nutter here. In that, not only are you a PR consultant and a blogger and all the rest of it, not only have you kind of learnt signing and written a book, you actually started a publishing company in order to publish it as well.
Yes, I did. And
what made you do that?
I suppose I anticipated that it would be quite hard to land a big publishing deal. And incidentally, I'm hopeful that it might sort of turn out in the future that a bigger publisher might be interested in the Alfie's Magic Hat series. And what I wanted to do was get the ball rolling to start with, find out what the audience was, get some sales figures. And what better way than to do that yourself? So, yeah, it took quite a while to set up, because obviously if you work as a writer for a big publisher, they've got someone who looks after the printing, they've got someone who looks after the merchandising and, you know, sources everything. They find you an illustrator and, you know, you literally just write the book and then help with the promotion.
But from my experience, a lot of big publishing houses and small ones don't actually help with the PR and marketing.
No, they don't. That's very often down to the author, if they're that way inclined, which not everyone is. Yeah, I've really enjoyed that process, and it's been a massive learning curve, actually. But in order for you to walk into your local bookshop, you know, they need to know that it exists. So whilst it is available to anyone who wants to go into the local Waterstones or an independent bookshop, it's down to me to tell the bookshop in the first place that it exists. And that's where the hard work comes in as an independent publisher. because, you know, we've got our middlemen, we've got our distributors lined up, the business model's been established. So, you know, they get printed, they go to a distributor, and then they send them in a lorry to whichever bookshop. However, it's that process of setting it all up, which is the time-consuming thing. But we've got our launch this weekend, actually, at Little Mouse Books in Maidstone and the Corn Exchange buildings. And that's a perfect example of a lovely independent bookstore. It's specifically for children as well, which is lovely. And they've been very welcoming, and we work very closely with them. Philippa Hode is the proprietor, and she invited us along to have our launch there. And we love to support local small businesses. You know, she's a small business. You know, she's up against the biggies in Maidstone. You've got places like Waterstones. So we'd love people to come along. Actually, it's 2 o'clock this Saturday, the 27th, at Little Mouse Bookshops. And we've got a lady coming in to do some signing. And we'll be just doing some little games with the children and the babies who come along, and just chatting to people, really, and having some nibbles and some fun.
Fantastic. I just want to explore that a little bit more, though, because you kind of, were blasé, you know, I just did that and I did that and I did that. And what you're describing is vanishingly hard work. So at the moment, Alfie's Magic Hat is available in Little Mouse Books. Is it currently available in the bigger chains like Waterstones?
It's available in all of the, online at Waterstones across the country. It's actually available internationally as well. Barnes & Noble is America's biggest chain. It's available there, also online.
Right.
But no, it's not physically in the shops as stock.
That's the hard thing, getting it in physically. But if people go in and order, they'll get them for them.
Absolutely. So if anyone's interested to go into the local bookshop and
just
request
order.
It.
Shout for it.
Yes.
Demand
by five.
It. Yeah.
But no, they're not holding all the stock. But that is simply a matter of telling the bookshops that it's available.
Yep.
You know, because, as I say, there's normally a department at each publisher who does that. So me, as the publisher, has quite a broad range of, you know, jobs. Once the writing the book's actually the easy bit.
Yeah. Knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
And now, you know, there's every stage. So I work with different illustrators.
But that is very true, isn't it? Because even nowadays, where book purchasing is a different order of magnitude than it used to be, because you've got vanity publishing, you've got publishing on demand, you've got, you know, e-books, which are, you know, anybody can register a book with Amazon. They just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be anything. It could be as bad as you like. If nobody buys it, tough, nobody cares. But even so, still with that, it is vanishingly hard to sell books.
Yes, it is. And I'm hoping that because this is quite unique, we will have that unique selling point. I mean, it is available. You know, you can go onto Amazon and there's lots of other online bookstores that sell it at various prices. It's $5.99, incidentally, but a lot of the online places do discount it. And we've also got a colouring book version, I should add, as well. Every book that we produce will have a colouring book version, just to make it a little bit more.
That's great. Crayons. Yeah, I do love a crayon.
Yeah, I like a
Paul
crayon.
Paul and I, often after Bunker, we curl up with some crayons.
With crayons, yeah. We'll colour something in.
Those nice big fat ones.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hard work as the publisher. And I think, as I say, that Alfie might benefit from being taken on by a bigger publisher at some time, because it's so unique.
But you see, I've worked with big publishers, I'm not mentioning names, but huge, you know, huge publishers. I'll tell you after the show, and nothing really. You're just doing it yourself, even so. Unless you're Stephen King or, you know,
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Never heard of him. J.K.O. Yeah. No, absolutely. So, Kathy, what are the plans from the book point of view? You've written Alfie's Magic Hat. You've got one book out in the marketplace. Presumably there's a sequel coming.
Yes, there is. So Alfie's Magic Hat is, so the launch is this weekend, but it is available now. And there's a second one called Farmyard Fun, which is currently with my illustrator Maureen and should be out later this year, towards Christmas probably. And then there's another series I'm working on with a different illustrator called Faye Hobson, which is links into Julie's riding school advice earlier. It's for slightly older children, so it's an illustrated story series about animals at a riding school.
And it's, I hope, just, they're insured.
Oh, yeah. They are definitely insured. But it's a lovely little fun rhyming story, actually.
Did you write that on the hoof?
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Excellent. Oh, and then yes, there'll be more signing books as well coming up. At least one by the end of this year, and possibly going into 2017. But I've got more plans for the signing stories and some signing, maybe not necessarily with the stories, but sort of more informative books as well with a different illustrator.
Cool. What's the bit that you enjoy most?
Finishing it.
Yes, that's a difficult question. In a sense, it's the writing, but actually, it's such a quick part of it, and it's so far removed time-wise by the end result that actually is literally seeing it in your hands, or more appropriately, seeing it in a bookshop or in somebody else's hands.
Yeah, sure, that
must be lovely.
And when we get lovely feedback, you know, I've had people sending photos of, and of course, he's called Alfie, so anyone buys it for their son or nephew called Alfie, you hear about it, and that's just lovely. You know, hearing that it's being enjoyed.
Absolutely, absolutely. You must be very proud.
I am proud, thank you.
And you know, the range of things you've had to do to bring this book to market is fabulous. So you've made reference a couple of times already to this, so I kind of I get where you're going, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What are your longer term plans for this? How do you see it going? I know you'd like a bigger publisher, but
I'm very much committed to keeping Serenia Books going, producing books. We also do e-books as well, so that doesn't have to be fiction. Just because now I've sort of very much learned the process myself of how to launch a good e-book. And like you mentioned, you know, you can just, I don't know, go onto PowerPoint and make an e-book and stick it on Amazon. But we work with a formatter in America, actually, who does all of my books and any of the other e-books that we might do for third parties. And you do need it to look good. The formatting is just so important. You go onto Amazon now and click through, and the paragraphs will be wrong.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
And so, you know that again, with a big publisher, it was us that spotted it. And they actually came back and said, oh, that's how they come out on Amazon.
This is a
huge publisher.
Yeah.
And we had to fight to get it changed.
Yeah, it's down to the formatter, the person.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's usually an individual, isn't it, who's doing it. So.
And the editing was farmed out for the first time to India, and it was very pigeon and not good.
It doesn't work, does it?
And they promised it would be fab, and it wasn't, so we had to do all that. So
that's the benefit when you do it yourself. You know, you really can go through things with a fine tooth.
If you want something doing, do it yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Kathy, we could talk about this for a long, long time. It's absolutely wonderful what you're doing. All power to you.
Thank you. Keep on keeping on.
Give us a shout out for websites, Twitter handles, or anything else you want to tell us about how to get the book. Remind us again about your launch this Saturday in Maidstone. Just tell us all that stuff again.
Okay, so we do have a Facebook page, which is Serenia Books, S-I-R-E-N-I-A Books. My Twitter handle is Kathy Serenia. And the website is sereniabooks.com, and you can buy it online there. Also, go to just search online for it, and it'll pop up on all manner of online shops and stores.
Alfie's Magic Hat, Fun at the Zoo.
That's right. And we are launching Alfie's Magic Hat, Fun at the Zoo this weekend, Saturday the 27th, at Little Mouse Books, which is a fabulous independent children's bookstore in Maidstone.
And it's in the Corn Exchange, is it not?
That's right. Yeah, yep. Corn Exchange Market Buildings, and it's from 2 till 4pm. And anyone with sort of young children, babies, or anyone who's just interested, really, just pop along and come and say hello, and there'll be some snacks and games and things to do.
Fantastic. Massive, massive thank you for coming on the show. We really do welcome that. We wish you much success with it for the moment.
Thank you,
Kelly
Paul.
Carter, thank you.
Thank you.
We've had a few tweets. Bridger Howes said, based on what Kathy was saying, everyone should be blogging.
Yeah,
they're absolutely right.
Yes.
And Rich from Bridger Howes is a prolific blogger himself. Fantastic. We've also had a tweet from AM Property Management, Nikki Property on the Twitter, that says, Vanillaware, Business Bunker, are there any landlords out there with a three-bedroom house in Herne Bay urgently looking on behalf of a tenant who needs it by the end of March? So thank you. So if you're in Herne Bay and you've got a three-bedroom house to rent, get in touch with Nikki Property on the Twitter at AM Property Management, because they have a tenant that needs to rent that house. Rob's just arrived back from lunch. Go vicinity.
All right, he does have lunch then.
Yeah. You said he didn't eat.
Well, he does eat, but he's too busy having babies to pop round and have dinner.
Is that what he does in his lunchtime?
I don't know. Let's not go there.
Oh, right, okay.
Kent and Victor Chambers, shall I read some After Hours Networking?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm just saying that the video, the Periscope, has just been popped on to the Tinternet there by Cascade Insurance. If you follow them, it's at Cascade_INS, and you'll be able to see it there. I will share it in a minute when I'm not reading and stuff. I'm going to share it now, actually. So the Kent and Victor Chamber have got After Hours Networking 6 to 7.30. No need to book, they say. Just turn up. And the next one is today, the 23rd of February.
It is indeed.
So it's tonight at the Great Danes Hotel in Maidstone. And then also the 1st of March, which is also a Tuesday, at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre in Dartford. There's another one on Tuesday, the 1st of March, at the Collingbrook Hotel, Ashford. And also the 8th of March, which is also a Tuesday, Hythe Imperial Hotel in Hythe. Please go to kentinvictorchamber.co.uk/events.
Cool. We had a tweet from Supply My Business who says, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, how quickly has today's Business Bunker show gone by?
I know.
What are we going to do? What are we going to listen to for the next 4 hours?
Wow.
Oh, sorry. Well, we have got some new shows coming up afterwards.
But, again.
Yeah. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
You're invited to the following event, Mastering the Markets, a free trading seminar. The event to be held at the following, Tuesday the 15th of March from 6.30 in the evening to 8.30 in the evening at the lovely Eastwell Manor Hotel. That's at Boughton Leys near Ashford. And that's a Mastering the Markets free trading seminar. And you can find out more by going to the website www.thestophunter.com. The Stop, S-T-O-P, thestophunter.co.uk, or you can email for more information to info@thestophunter.co.uk. So if you're interested in Mastering the Markets, a free trading seminar, do check that out. That's on Tuesday the 15th of March in the evening at 6.30.
International Women's Day event, which is on Wednesday the 9th of March. It's 10 till 2.30. It's at the Chilston Park, Kent Sandway in Lenham, Maidstone. And if you're going by sat-nav, it's M for Mother, E for Egbert, 17, 2, B for Bertie and E for Egbert. It's
Egbert.
Egbert, no bacon.
Egbert, no bacon.
It's International Women's Day theme, gender
parity. I get knocked down.
I get up again. Gender parity, our theme is the theme. That sounds very highbrow, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How does she do it, they ask. So showcasing.
How does she do it?
Showcasing and celebrating female role models in Kent International. Women's Day event with guest speakers who are Catherine Spencer, who was the former England rugby captain,
mm-hmm.
and she succeeded obviously in a male-dominated sport. But think of all those scrums she had to go into, Kathy. What do you think?
Blimey.
I've always fancied going in a sort of a mud scrum, haven't you?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, if you're on top, it's all right. Maybe not underneath.
It's not something I've thought about.
I do. Balancing running your own business. This is Susanna Schofield.
Susanna. My mate Susanna got an OBE in the News Honours List.
OBE?
Yeah, well done, Susanna. Very well deserved. She's coming back on the Business Bunker Show shortly as well.
And she's the Commercial and Innovation Director of the Royal Mail.
She is indeed.
Family Life, etc. Mind the Gap. Mm. And Amanda Cottrell, the Kent Ambassador, OBE, also is going to be talking there. So it's 10 a.m. arrival for tea and coffee and networking, and then the intro by Deborah, FSB, and set out the events of the day, and then you'll have your speakers, and it will close at 2.30. So again, that's Wednesday 9th of March, 10 to 2.30 in Maidstone. And you'll find details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. It's that time in the show again where we bring you...
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you a news update from the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway. As always, on the Kent Business Radio website, there is there's two places now that you can look on the blog pages. There's FSB events where all the latest events can be found and booked. But there's also FSB pages. There's a tab that just says FSB. And on that page can be found all the interviews we've ever done about FSB topics and with FSB people. And we'll continue to update that as more and more people come on the show and talk about various things. And, of course, the latest one was last week where we had the lovely Emma and Andrew who were membership advisors and were telling us about being members of the FSB. So do check that out.
Well, you know, I've organised a little lunch on Friday and I'm taking lovely Andrew with me.
Oh, are you?
Andrew Knott, FSB.
Where are you going?
I'm going down to Margate. There's a boutique hotel there called the Victoria Margate.
Yep.
And I shall be trying out the new chef's special there. It's Chef Aaron Coston.
Okay, cool.
On the Twitter.
So have fun.
It's a lovely boutique hotel. There's loads of us going. Serenity.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you once said to me that you didn't want to go to any more lunches because you were on one of your diets.
Thanks for inviting me.
You can come and have sparkling water.
HM Revenue and Customs is staging a series of webinars. HMRC would like to invite you to preview their latest guide, which covers allowable business expenses for the self-employed. The focus this month will be on support for VAT, employers and CIS. To see the e-learning material, please follow the following links. And you can find that at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/news update, where all the links to VAT getting started, how VAT works, becoming an employer and tax advice for the construction industry. You can also find their webinars by going to the HMRC website, which is www.gov.uk. So do check that out, either through the Business Bunker Show or directly through their website.
There is a construction industry that's been fined a record amount by HMRC.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
What have they been up to, I hear you cry. They've increased, the HMRC has increased its revenue from tax investigations into the construction industry by 17% in the 2000 to 2015 tax year due to the high level of self-employment and cash in hand work. See, I gave one of my builders cash on Saturday, so I could get into trouble. The sector
not necessarily.
Well, as long as I write it down.
Well, there's nothing stopping you paying a bill with folding stuff.
As long as he declares it.
As long as he declares it. It's up to the recipient to declare it.
Yeah, he slipped it in his pocket pretty sharp.
Yeah, well, what do you expect him to do with it?
I don't know.
What do you expect him to do with the cash? You know, throw it up in the air?
I don't know. He'd slipped in his pocket, back pocket like that. Yeah. And then pull his jumper down over it. The sector has been targeted by tax inspectors and fines
more than doubled.
It's a good
job no one's listening, isn't it? I mean, otherwise we could be in big trouble.
2010, HMRC has found that many subcontractors and self-employed contractors should in fact be classified as employed under PAYE, resulting in higher national insurance contributions, known as NICs, from both the employee and the employer. Could it be a NIC or an NIC?
Could be a NIC. Yeah. Financial penalties are coming into force from April 2016 for employers who fail to pay tribunal awards. The government has confirmed that it expects Section 150 of the Small Business Enterprise and Employment Act 2015 to come into force from April 2016. Section 150 amends the Employment Tribunals Act 1996 to enable financial penalties to be imposed on employers who fail to pay either an Employment Tribunal financial reward or an ACAS conciliated settlement sum. So basically, once you've been done once, you can be done twice if you don't pay the fines. Pay the fines. That's the only way out of that, isn't it?
I would think so. Voluntary code to protect business broadband users. Ofcom is inviting internet service providers, ISPs, to sign its voluntary business broadband speeds code of practice, which provides business users with a similar level of protection to that enjoyed by consumers. The code will be effective from 30th of September of this year. It requires signatories to provide business users with transparent and accurate pre-contractual info about broadband speed and to provide further information within 7 days of the sale. Where speed problems cannot be resolved, business users must be allowed to cancel their contract without incurring a penalty. Well, I got a parking ticket the other day because there was no Wi-Fi and I couldn't top up my Ringo in the little Moroccan restaurant I was hobnobbing in Canterbury.
Funnily enough, all things...
That wasn't funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. All things being equal, hopefully, if it's not too windy or wet, I'm having my new broadband installed tomorrow.
I thought you were having a Moroccan.
No, V-Fast.
So,
I'm V-Fast, yeah, WiMAX installed tomorrow on the roof of my house.
Are you going to hardwire it?
No, no.
Because mine's been hardwired, hasn't it?
Yeah, no.
VFast.
VFast, yep. I'm really looking forward to that.
Good.
They were due to do it a few weeks ago, and then we had that hurricane, whatever it was called. What was it called?
Ethelbert or something.
Yeah, yeah, Edwina
always,
or something.
There was a funny name.
Yeah, Hurricane Edwina blew through, and they couldn't come up on the cherry picker.
Now, as we were talking to Julie earlier, the FSP has called for help for smaller firms to access affordable flood insurance. So get your canoes ready. Despite the water, many small firms have been resilient during the current floods crisis and managed to stay open and support their local communities. The FSP is grateful to those that have protected businesses and are helping them get back on their feet. FSP is calling for help to ensure small businesses and that they can access affordable flood insurance. John Allen, who's the national chairman for the Federation of Small Businesses, has said that the research published by the FSB has demonstrated that many smaller firms struggle to access affordable flood insurance, with 9% in flood risk areas reporting difficulties and 6% reporting that they have been refused cover. Julie.
Wow.
It's outrageous. This equates to around 75,000.
We're blaming Julie, are we?
No, we're not. I'm waiting for her to come up with help. She's going to help them.
Right.
This equates to around 75,000 smaller businesses across the UK facing difficulties in finding affordable insurance and 50,000 being refused. This is a long-standing issue as ministers and the insurance industry plan to bring in a new flood scheme to back those refused cover. FSB has expressed its deep concern to ministers and the insurance industry that the smallest businesses will now be excluded. Much like households, micro businesses are those least able to negotiate competitive insurance. When the new scheme's introduced in April of this year, FSB is calling for the smallest businesses to be included. There's a whole other show with you, Julie.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll have to come back.
You will?
Absolutely. You will.
In your canoe.
That is it, the flood insurance. They should be able to get insurance, but the flood will be excluded from their insurance.
Right, absolutely, yeah. Cool. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about this some more. There's a two-year plan to increase the take-up of research and development tax credits. HMRC has announced a two-year plan to increase take-up of research and development tax relief among small firms. Measures will focus primarily on increasing awareness and making it easier for firms to apply for this type of tax relief. Excuse me. For example, HMRC will publish improved guidance to help increase firms' understanding of the R&D tax relief process and to provide business certainty through the Advanced Assurance Scheme. Under the Advanced Assurance Scheme, which was launched back in last November, HMRC will assure eligible firms that their first 3 years of tax credit relief will be allowed without inquiry. You can find out more about this by going to www.gov.uk/government/news/boost-for-small-businesses. Or you can just read it on the Kent Business Radio website.
Jaws. Could be simpler. Growth of creative industries. So new figures published by the Department for Culture, Media and Sport has revealed that the UK's creative industries are worth over $84 billion per year to the economy. And this figure indicates that the sector is growing at almost twice the rate of the wider UK economy and generates over $9.6 million per hour. Minister for Culture, Ed Vasey, said, government continues to create the right environment for creative industries to thrive, and there's tax relief, inward investment and safeguarding music and cultural education programmes. And 2016, he says, is shaping up to be another great year right across the UK's most dynamic sector. So that's the creative industries there. Well done.
Cool. Got some more insurance related stuff here. A survey of 1,500 small business owners carried out by Aviva has revealed mixed attitudes towards cybercrime.
Oh, yes.
Cybercrime. 4 in 10 respondents did not believe they were at risk from cybercrime, and nearly 2/3 did not know or were unsure about how they would react to an attack. However, more than one in three small business owners surveyed had experienced a cyber attack, and three quarters of those respondents estimated that it cost them up to £1,000 to remedy. Commenting on the findings, Angus Eaton, Managing Director of Commercial Lines at Aviva, warned small business owners that it was a mistake to think criminals would only target large businesses.
It's true, because sometimes the smaller businesses, they can sneak in more easily, can't
they? Exactly,
yeah. Because they don't have the manpower. The Kent CII, is that CII? Regional Conference. Is the three Kent Insurance Institutes of Mid-Kent, Royal Tunbridge Wells and Folkestone, Canterbury and East Kent are uniting once more for our annual Kent CII. I think it is CII. Isn't that CII?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Nobody was helping. I mean, really, you're all, you know, in your own little worlds. regional conference, which is Thursday the 10th of March at the Mercure Great Danes in Maidstone, and tickets can be got now. Third annual conference, it's been very popular over the past 2 years with excellent feedback, they say, and attendance by over 200 members from across the county sees the Kent Institutes come together to deliver a full day of CPD with presentations from leading insurance and business figures. The theme of this year's conference is centred around protecting our industry and will cover challenges faced and how we can overcome them in today's ever-changing and fast-paced industry. To find out how to get a place at the event, you need to email ben.woodman@allianz, that's allianz.co.uk. So that's coming up soon.
Fantastic, thank
in
you. According to the Royal Mail's annual tracker study, smaller e-tailers are growing in business confidence, with 8 out of 10 positive that sales will increase during 2016. This outlook stems from the success in 2015, when more than 74% of e-tailers experienced an increase in sales. To maintain this trend in 2016, 70% of online retailers are planning to expand the number of channels they are selling through, with 85% of these planning to list on additional online marketplaces and 50% intending to launch their own website. So the growth in e-tailing goes on and on and on.
It does. There's a Dragon's Den application. They're looking for applications from those who have a current business and may be interested in applying to pitch for potential investment from the Dragon's Den. It's a challenging place to pitch, but it's also a genuine business opportunity to secure investment. And in Series 13, there are 24 entrepreneurs who accepted offers of investment in the Den worth a combined £1,562,000, with plenty more achieving success after taking on board the Dragon's advice. To get your application form, you need to go to dragonsden@bbc.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's the FSB news update for this Tuesday, February the 23rd. Brilliant. We've still got in tweets coming in.
I know, and lots of news. We've had lots of news.
Yeah, we Rob, by the way, had lunch at Café Saint-Pierre, apparently.
I don't even know where that is.
Canterbury.
There's so many cafes popping up.
I know.
I know I sound a bit humbug, but there's too many eateries and not enough shops, in my opinion, now.
Absolutely.
And I love an eatery. But I think the council just taking... I was hearing somebody, there's a restaurant, before he even starts, he has to take in 17,000. That's his outgoings before he even takes in a customer, a restaurant in Canterbury.
Well, it doesn't surprise me in the least.
Unbelievable.
The problem is that there's no real validity in conventional retailing. And in a place like Canterbury, where property is incredibly expensive, it's not viable to run retail shops. We've had a tweet from the lovely Adrian at AK Pet Services.
I need to phone you, Adrian. Sorry, haven't had time. I will phone you.
He says, good afternoon, Paul and Jules.
Are you still speaking
what
to me?
What a great then? Show again. Thank you, Adrian.
Yeah, I thought he wouldn't be speaking to me. I was supposed to call him on Friday.
Have you let him down?
Well, I said I'd call him on Friday.
Adrian's very amiable.
He's amiable.
He doesn't hold a grudge. I would. If it was me, I would hold a grudge. I would be really angry by now. I would be banging you out texts and emails and all kinds, whatever it was you did.
Well, I said I'd call him on Friday, and then I said I'd call him on Monday.
Oh, Adrian, I get that from her all the time.
I know.
Yeah. It takes her 4 days to answer her messages.
It's not true.
It is. We've had a tweet from Sonia, the lovely Sonia Wood at Sonia EcoSan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's saying...
Well, she's actually posted a picture.
Okay.
And the picture's an aphorism. It says, the past, the present and the future walk into a bar. It was tense.
It was tense.
It was tense. You know, past, yeah, present, and future. Do you get it?
I was thinking of camping, like tense. T-E-N-T-S. It's very highbrow.
T-E-N-S-E.
Yeah. It is highbrow, but it's good.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Who else have you had?
Oh, there's loads still coming in. We're kind of...
I'm just a bit miffed that Rob Govicinity is having lunch without me.
Well, he has waited 2 years for you to get round to it, hasn't he, really?
Yeah, but he did have a baby and things.
So you mentioned, yeah.
And then I did some travelling with my stuff. And
yeah, okay.
It'll be summer soon. It'll be easier then. He can come
it's
out.
Much easier in the summer. That is very true.
He can come out on the slopes.
Yeah. Anyway, we are kind of fast approaching the end of the show now with only a couple of minutes to go. We still have got tweets coming in, but... we are fast approaching the end of the show. I'd just like to make you aware of what is coming up later today on Channel Radio. Straight after the Business Bunker show at 4 o'clock, we have the absolutely lovely Natalie Benaig with Kent Creative Live Show, the show focusing on the creative industries, as we've just heard from Jules, which is a growing part of the economy in general, and especially a growing part of Kent. But there's a whole show dedicated to the creative industries, hosted by the lovely Natalie Benaig, and that will be on Channel Radio at 4 o'clock. That is followed at 5 o'clock by Mr. Craig Avery, the lady's favourite with his stripy socks. Yeah, and his special guest this afternoon is singer-songwriter Paul Luftnegger. Did you hear him last week?
No, I need to listen again.
Yeah, Dr. Robert from the Blow Monkeys on last week.
I used to live next door to his drummer.
Yeah. So, anyway.
It was a good show.
It was a brilliant show.
I will listen. I'm digging the scene anyway.
Yeah, but Craig will be back with the Craig Avery Show at 5 o'clock, 5 until 7. That is followed at 7 o'clock by...
Welcome on to the New Potato Show.
18 tracks of hand-picked new and unsigned music on the New Potato Show, presented for your delight by Mr. Jamie Andrews at 7 p.m. this evening until 9 p.m. At 9 p.m. that is followed by I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet.
Were you?
I was indeed. Our comedy music programme of the evening. And, of course, as always, on a Tuesday night here on Channel Radio, we round it off with the fabulous...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So that finishes off the evening on Channel Radio with a fabulous Club Culture show with Boy George.
It's a great show, that.
But you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin, our two fabulous guests, the lovely Julie Cordes from Cascade Insurance Brokers over there in Ashford, and the equally lovely Kathy Carter from Serenia Books, and today's show sponsor, the great folks at RAP Office Contracts. We'll be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.